got to pray. You got to pray for yourself. You got to pray for those who hurt you. You got to pray for the church. You have to pray. But this morning, I want to take a different kind of approach. I want us to think about this. What do you do when the Word of God hurts you? What do you do when a preacher, somebody like me, a preacher like me, gets up and they preach and they say something that hurts?
How do you handle that? How do you deal with the hurt when it's caused by the Bible, when it's caused by the Word of God? I think this is something we're facing not just in the church, but as Christianity as a whole in the world. What do we do when the Bible says something, or when we're faced with something that's painful? It poked us. Now, I've shared this when I started going to church in the 70s. We talked about wearing steel-toed shoes to church because something up on your toes. Anybody old enough to remember those kind of conversations? You know, we kind of joked about that. Because sometimes when you open the Word of God, it hurts. And how does it work? But I want to be real clear here, because as I think about opening the Word of God and God's Word hurting, I want to tell you something. There's a difference between God's Word hurting us and someone taking the Word of God and hurting us. All right? See, I can believe there's people there, and I've seen this happen where people take the Word of God and they beat you with it. Anybody ever been beat with the Word of God? Somebody just said to quote scripture after scripture after scripture. Just kind of beating it into you. Is that how God intended it? There's two scriptures I wanted to kind of begin this message with this morning that talk about the Word of God being a sword, all right? The Word of God in the Bible is referred to as a sword, and there's these two scriptures. And I want to kind of lay the foundation of the message with these two scriptures. Look at the first one here, and I wrote it this way. Is the Bible a weapon? The Bible is a weapon to defeat Satan. Okay? The Bible is a weapon to defeat Satan. All right? And here's what the scripture says. If you're familiar, there's a passage in the gospel of, not the gospel, in the book of Ephesians. Paul is writing them, the sixth chapter. He's talking about we're in a battle. Satan has triumphed us. Satan is attacking us. Satan is calling us losers. He's trying to steal our joy, kill our peace, and destroy our life. Satan wants you to suffer in this world, all right? You need to understand that. He makes it look really good. I mean, come on, you watch TV and it looks good to get drunk. Watch all those commercials. It makes it look really good until you're hugging the porcelain the next morning. You know? It looks good. You know, Satan paints these wonderful pictures. You got to fit in. It makes you feel good. Look at everyone else. They're all loving and caring. Let's go to the bar with cheers and have a great time. Then spend the next day with a headache and you can't go to work and you're hugging the porcelain. Yeah, that's a fun night. You wake up, what did I do? Did I do anything stupid? Yeah. See, Satan paints it that way. And so Paul in that book of Ephesians, that last chapter of that book of Ephesians, he's saying, listen, you got to get ready for a war with Satan. It's a battle. You're in a battle with Satan. It's described like a breastplate of righteousness and a belt of truth and your feet. And he begins to describe the armor and everything and a shield. And then he comes down to this point here. Look at what it says here in Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So one of the weapons we need to fight Satan is the Bible. The way you defeat Satan is, well, I'm strong. I'm a smart person. I'm going to tell you something. We're none of us as smart as Satan. All right? We're none of us as strong as Satan. But God's Word is. The Bible is. And so what Paul is sitting here saying is, listen, if you're going to be in a battle for your soul, you're going to be in a battle for your peace, your joy, you're going to be in a fight for those, you need to understand that fight is fought with the Word of God. Jesus, after he was baptized, went into the wilderness. 40 days. I don't know, I've never had a 40-day fast. I've done a 3-day fast. That's the longest fast I've ever done. A fast is when you don't eat food to get a better relationship, to spend some time concentrating on God. I put that away so I can put more time into God's Word and spending time with God. That's a fast. And Jesus had been at this for 40 days on a fast. And the devil comes along after that baptism and says, hey man, I know you got to be hungry. Don't you need something to eat? You know, see those rocks over there? You're God's son. You're God. You can those rocks into bread, and man, you can feast on that bread. And Jesus goes, wait a minute. I'm following God, and God said, this is what I'm supposed to do right now. He goes back to the devil, and he goes, listen, man does not live by bread alone, and he quotes the word of God. Two other occasions, he quotes scripture to Satan, as Satan said, listen, man, throw yourself down. God will protect you. Listen, let everybody worship you, and then we'll set everything all up for you. Every time he fought that battle with the word, tell you, when you're in a battle for your peace, and you're in a battle for that joy in your life, and Satan's trying to destroy your life, your tool is the word of God. Your weapon is the word of God. That weapon is something we fight Satan with. So he uses that word sword. Now, I want to make sure you get a picture. Now, when I read the word sword, I don't know about you, but, you know, I think of it as this big old 3-foot sword. Anybody? I think of this monster sword. It's like, whoop, all right, let's go at it, you know. I'm ready to do battle. That's not the sword he has here. The, in Greek, in the picture here, is a dagger. You know, something in the guy's belt, just this little dagger. It's like a kitchen butcher knife, you know, something along that kind of line. But that's the weapon. God's word is a weapon to defeat Satan. There's another reference to the word of God being a sword, and that's over in the book of Hebrews, and it reads like this, and I wrote it this way. It's a tool for transforming one's life. It's a tool for transforming one's life. Not only is the Bible a weapon to defeat Satan, it's a tool that God uses to transform us to be more like Christ. It's a tool. I kind of seen it as my picture I drew in my hand as I in my head as I seen this was like a scalpel in the hand of a surgeon. All right? That's the kind of picture I had here of what I seen. Listen to what it says here. The word of God is living and active, sharper two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul, of the spirit, of the joints, and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of our heart. He's saying, see, God's word goes into our heart, and it cuts away. It's trying to discern the truth in us. It's trying to discover our intentions, our desires, our will. It's revealing to us the truths about ourselves. The Bible does that. You hear me stand here all the time, week after week, and many times I use a nation of a battle in my life. That battle, someone rode with me. It's called patience. I don't have, it's a battle in my life. And God, when I read his words and I read the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, I want to skip patience. Because it cuts me. It hurts. Because I don't want to go there. God, just don't go there. I'm not good in this area, God. God pulls some big butcher knife out, some big sword, and swipe Gary. God took a scalpel and said, Gary, we need to cut this out of your life. You need to work on this area. As I read that word, look at what he's trying to reveal those things. So here's what I want to make sure you get a picture of. God's word is not some massive sword that we go around swinging and attacking people. God's word is a sword. And it's a weapon that we fight Satan with. And the sad thing for me as a pastor is I see too many people take the weapon that we should be fighting Satan with and we fight one another with. Anybody? We crush each other. We see a brother or sister in Christ. We see a friend and we just, you know, well, the Bible says. And we want to butcher people. We want to take people apart with the word of God. Listen, the Bible is a weapon to fight Satan, not one another. So I'm going to be real clear as we're going to go through the message. You don't pull out your Bible and beat a brother or sister in Christ up with your Bible. I told you what you should believe. That's not what God's word is for. It's a weapon to fight Satan. But it's also a tool to transform us. That God wants to take it and use it in our heart and in our life. It's a life that is peace and joy. He wants to give us a life that is full and meaningful. He wants us to experience a life with peace and purpose. See, that's what God wants for us. And so the Bible is that tool that God wants to use. That when the preacher or when a song we sing that sings scriptures, or when you're reading God's word and it seems to cut you, it seems hurt. I want to call it this. I want to call it a good hurt. A good hurt. I went to the dentist this week. All right? I lost a couple of teeth. They had to do bone graft. So, they cut my jaw open. They drilled holes in the bone. They stitched up all sorts of stuff in there. And I'm going to tell you what. It hurt. It hurt. I was blessed because it didn't hurt that bad. That it hurt. You know, is there some good hurts? Anybody ever get a flu shot? I hate flu shots. I hate needles, okay? But you get a flu shot, why? It hurt. I don't want to hurt. But I don't want the flu either. See, that's how I look at God's word. God's word's kind of like that flu shot. God's word's kind of like going to the dentist or going to the doctor. I don't want to go to the doctor. It's time to get a physical, Gary. I got a message from my doctor. I don't want to go. They're going to poke and punch on me. See, there are some things that are good hurts. But the problem is sometimes we take the Bible and make it a weapon instead of a tool. That's what I want to challenge us with. And I want us to think about this morning. I want you to look at God's word when maybe I'm preaching, or maybe you sat there and opened a Bible study and you opened something up and it's kind of, man, because the Bible talks about some difficult choices, doesn't it? We read the Bible and don't lie. Well, that's pretty easy, right? We're not going to lie. Anybody here a liar? And knows nobody raised their hand. We don't, come on, tax returns coming pretty soon, right? You guys filling them out? April 15th, rolling around. You don't lie, do you? Stretch the truth, but don't lie. Well, most of us here aren't murderers, at least I don't know, at least if you are, you haven't told me. But Jesus says, if you call someone a fool, you're a murderer. Whoa. Maybe I'm guilty of that one. You call those other drivers idiots, Gary. That's right. See, God's word is a tool. It's not some weapon that we attack. In order for it to be a good tool, I want to make sure I point this out. Listen to what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4. Rather, speaking the truth in love. Why don't you circle in love? In love. Speaking the truth in love, we are growing, we are to grow up in every to him who is the head, into Christ. When we use the Bible, we speak of the Bible, it's not a weapon, it's a tool that we use in love. When I'm preaching up and I'm preaching the word of God and I'm talking about some touchy issues, I better be doing it in love, right? Some challenging issues that we face in our world today. Let's talk about marriage. What does it constitute a marriage? Homosexuality, abortion. Let's talk about the fish, but how do we talk about them? We pull out our weapon. All right, who's next on my list? Who am I going to chop up today? Or do we pull out our tool and walk alongside somebody and walk with somebody and say, man, I know there's tough choices in life. I know life's not fair and I know life hurts. But listen, this is what God's word says. I'm going to walk with you through this, and we're going to get through this some way, shape, some form. Or do we pull out our Bible, pull out our sword, and just chop people up? I've seen it. Anybody else? Don't raise your hand. But you've seen it. But we got to speak the truth in love. I enjoyed the dentist that worked on my jaw. It was very nice. We're sitting there cutting. He's talking to me. He wants me to answer. It ain't going to happen. I mean, you got this thing shoved in my mouth. I can't even close it. But it was, you know, sitting there, a great conversation about his wife. They had gone to church. She had lost her Bible, left her Bible at church. And I loved it when my dentist is talking about God. I mean, that's he's hurting me. But he's talking about God. I guess that's okay. See, how do we do this? when you read God's word, I think you need to understand this. God is lovingly trying to lead you to a full and meaningful life. Because see, that's what God wants. I like this. I want to make sure you get a picture of God. Listen to what the Bible says about God. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Now, I like that word steadfast because I need that because sometimes I'm not very loving. Anybody? Any of you guys married? Never mind. The Lord is good to all and his mercy is over all that he has made. See, God is a gracious God. God wants what's for us. See, I have this picture in my mind. Maybe I'm crazy, but this is a picture I have in my mind. I see God at the beginning. I see God at the very beginning, forming this earth. And in his mind, he's got this picture of this beautiful place called the Garden of Eden. He's planted the crops. He's created these creatures. He's created this beautiful place. This, that he's going to place the thing he loves the most, the thing that's most his most treasured possession in this beautiful garden. That treasured possession is you and I, and he puts us in this garden. I just see God. I wanted something for them to enjoy their lives. They're never going to die. They're going to live forever. Here's this beautiful place for them to reside. But I want them to have free choice. I want them to be able to say yes or no in our relationship with me. I want them to have that privilege. Angels don't get the privilege. Animals don't get the... But I'm going to give that to human beings. That here's this beautiful place they can live, but I want them to worship me, but that's got to be their choice. And he creates this beautiful place. And he puts us in this garden, and then guess what we do? We mess it up. We mess it up. But see, I believe God wants to get back to that place. I believe that's where God wants us, in that place. See, I really do. I believe God wants us to have a world where there's joy and peace, there's mercy, there's grace. I believe that's the world that God wants us to exist in. I believe that's the world I want the church in. Anybody? That's where I want the church to be. That's that grace, and there's mercy, and there's love, and there's joy, and there's peace, and God is in that midst, and it's a small garden in the midst of a world that's out of craziness. I like the way Jesus speaks of it in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, who's the thief? Anybody got an idea? Satan, the devil. You guys are with me. But I being Jesus, came that you may have life and have it abundantly. That's what God wants. See, God didn't give us the Bible to chop each other up with, to attack one another, to slay others. He gave us the Bible as a tool that we can have an abundant life. And I like that passage. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And I like saying it. The devil steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. And what the Bible does, it's the sword to defeat Satan. And it's the tool to get that garbage out of our life that is stealing our joy, killing our peace, and destroying our life. See, I talk about my patience. Let me give you a little picture. I talk about my patience and my lack of it. Driving down the freeway, and I get upset, all right? I get aggravated. I get mad. Physically, guess what happens? My blood pressure goes up. Anybody? Is it healthy for me? Is it good for me? Emotionally, what's going on? I'm on edge, and Laura's telling me to calm down, and now I'm getting mad at her for bugging me. And then spiritually, God's upset because Gary's being a jerk. You know, we look at that and say, well, yeah, you know, and you need to know I wrestle with that. I see God taking that. Gary, is it a pride issue, Gary? Gary, is it an anger issue, Gary? These are the things I wrestle with. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, God's word's that scalpel that's kind of going in there saying, Gary. You know, because then I drive up next to that car that's aggravating me, and it's a battle. And then I feel bad. Because they're doing the best they can. And someday, hopefully, I'll never be there, all right? Driving like that. And I figure someday I probably will, and it'll be a guy behind me like Gary today See, we need to understand. See, God's word is that good tool that's trying to kill those things, that's destroying our joy, killing our peace, and destroying our life. Killing our joy, destroying our peace, and destroying our lives. We need to see God's word that way. And there's two things I really wanted to make sure I pointed out, because in our world, I think we wrestle with this. Let me give you an illustration here. If you look at your outline, I want you to put this word eternal life down there. See, I think that's an abundant life God wants us to have. See, I really do. I believe God wants us to enjoy this world. I want church, and I was telling somebody, I want church to be fun. I want to have fun in here, guys. I'm sorry. I want to have fun. I'm having a blast serving God. Are there bad things? Yeah. Am I messed up? Yeah. I'm glad you guys are graceful and merciful to me. But I want to enjoy. I want to enjoy the world. I want to go to Disneyland. I'm going to enjoy the world. You know? It's what I want to do. And I believe that's what God wants. I don't think God put us here. Let's see how I could make them suffer today. I don't see that in heaven. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's the work of the devil. Pull out your weapon. The word of God. God. But then God wants to cut those things out. Those things like patience, anger, pride that kind of messes up my life. See, and that's that eternal life. See, and here's the battle that I see today. And the reason I want to point this out, because see, we live in a world of political correctness, I think is probably the word I want to use. See, I'll talk about eternal life, and here's what I want to tell you. I'm going to be real plain. Let's look at what the scripture says. And I want to make sure you get a picture here as we go through this. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are written in this book. But these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You may have that abundant life. I'm writing this. John said they're saying, I'm writing this in the gospel. I'm writing this in this Bible. I'm writing this in this book so that you can believe. So that you can believe, and that by believing, you will have an abundant life, an eternal life, a life that is full. See, he's writing that. Now, I live in a world that when I say that, when I proclaim that, that Jesus wants to bless you, that Jesus wants to give you a full and meaningful life, that Jesus wants to be with you and walk with you and help you through this world, that the world looks at me and says, you're intolerant. You're unloving. You're disrespectful. See, the world looks at me because I'm saying that Jesus is the way. Well, what about all these others over here? Look at what the scripture says, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I grew up in the 70s. Jesus was the way. Anybody? Come on now. Some of you kind of remember? Jesus is the way. I grew up in the Jesus generation. Anybody remember the 70s? Yeah. I'm going to say if you don't remember, we get too high on pot. Never mind. I'm not going to go there. Yeah. How did we, you know? But I stand up today and I proclaim Jesus is the way, the only way, and I'm being hateful. Well, I want to tell you something. I'm being hurtful. I want to tell you something. That's a good hurt. Because I'm doing that because I love people. I want people to go to heaven. You know what I really want? I want more people to miss hell and make heaven. That's anybody on board for that boat? I want people to know the joy of Jesus Christ, the peace that Jesus brings, that peace that beyond all understanding, we can't explain in today's world. But when I stand up and say Jesus is the only way, some people are hurt. Because I'm being disrespectful. Well, what about this religion? And what about this faith? And you know what? They can believe whatever they want. I'm not going to get mad at them. I'm not going to call them intolerant. I'm not going to call them anything. But I want them to know Jesus Christ loves them. I want them to know that Jesus Christ died for them. I want you guys to know that this morning, that Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants you to be with him for all eternity in a place called heaven, and he wants you to have an abundant life right there today. That's what I believe. That when I say that in today's world, I'm called intolerant, uncaring. So if I'm hurting you, just telling you that, I hope it's a good hurt for you, because I want you saved. All right? If you don't know Jesus loves you, Jesus loved you, died for you. If you don't know Jesus is the only way, you want to get mad at me? Get mad at me, but know you, I'm telling that out of love. Because Jesus is the only way. Old Testament, they were looking towards him, the Messiah to come. We're looking back on the Messiah that died on the cross for us. You can say, I'm hateful. I don't hate anybody. And those who've been around me know, I've been called all sorts of names. In church, on a school board, in a sanitation board, I've been called names. I've told you, I've been standing in front of the old blue church, and somebody told me, I hate you. But I want to tell you what, I love you, and I want you to go to heaven with me. I'm looking forward to that day when I sit in heaven. I'm sitting across from my grandparents. I can't wait. I really never got to hear my grandfather. I heard my grandfather preach one message because I ran from God till I was 17 years old. I want to see my grandfather and talk to him. He was a brush preacher preaching up and down. He picked the crops in this valley. Anybody know, you know, back in the 30s and 40s? He was up and down this valley preaching at a brush yard. They just preach on a Sunday wherever he was at. I want to see him. My grandmother, the crazy one. Get in the car. Every time you get in the car, you got to pray. No, man, let's go. I'm ready. And grandma wants to pray. You know, you're 15, man. Maybe put the car in gear and let's go. And grandma, we got to pray. I can't wait to see her again. See, I want that for all of us. So I'm not being hateful. I'm not being intolerant. People, you know, I'm going to tell you, you can believe whatever you want. But my heart is, I want you to go to heaven with me. I'm going to tell you in love. I'm not going to pull out some sword. What do you believe? Chop, chop, chop. I'm going to pull out my scalpel and say, Jesus loves you. What's stopping you from making that decision today? How can I help you get over that last little hurdle? God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. How can I get you over that last little hurdle? What do I got to do? God loves you. He's got a plan for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to care for you. Do you see that? See, that's a good hurt, isn't it? Isn't that a good hurt? When you say that's a good hurt, isn't salvation a good hurt? I'm a sinner, I'm screwed up, I'm messed up, and I'm going to mess up again. That God loves me, he died on the cross for me, past, present, future sins, whatever it is, he's taken away, and he's going to take me to heaven to be with him for all eternity. Isn't that a good hurt? What, you guys, are you guys on board with that one? How about moral choice? Next one I put down here. Moral choices as a good hurt. Choosing the right thing. Choosing to do right in this world that is really choosing to do a lot wrong. Not only do we have political correctness in our world where all the religions are going to heaven, everybody, you know, it's all the same God. It's all, you know, I can point out all the differences. I can argue all that. We have that political correctness, but we also have relative truth. Now, when I was in the 70s, it was called situational ethics. And it's, whatever's true for you may be true for you, and whatever's true for me will be true for me, and that's okay in some ways. See, here's a relative truth, okay? I'll give you a relative truth. Taco Bell is the best fast food restaurant there is. All right? That is a relative truth. That is true. That is true for me. Now, I like In-N-Out, and I like McDonald's sweet tea, and, you know, Carl's Jr., Burger King, and I like those fast food, but the best fast food restaurant is Taco Bell. Get over it. That's a relative truth. Everybody on board with that one? Lying is not a relative truth. Stealing is not a relative truth. They don't really, well, if it's okay this time. The business was cheating you, so you're just cheating back. I had somebody tell me this one time. You go to the store and you give too much money and they don't give you the right change. Anybody? Well, this one person told me this. They go, Well, sometimes they don't give me enough back, and sometimes they give me too much back, so I just count it as a wash. I don't think it works that way. It doesn't work that way. You don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't steal, you don't go. Never mind, I'm not going to go there with girls who do. No, yeah. That we, you know, we know there's some truths that are not relative. They're true all the time. Some of those moral choices. You know, we read the Bible and we read these moral choices and they're true. Listen to what God's Word says. All scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, God wants to cut away things that aren't good for us. I kind of tune in sometimes to some of those cooking shows my wife watches. I don't usually watch them. But I watch the guy, he puts his slab of meat out there, and he starts cutting away fat and some of the stuff off that meat, kind of getting it down to where he can get it down to that good choice piece of beef he wants to cook. See, that's what God does in us. He takes his word and he begins to cut away those moral choices that, it's not that bad. Come on. It's only a white lie. Anybody? It was only a nickel. Oh, they have lots of pencils, so I just took one. They'll never miss one. We make these moral choices. We can get complicated ones. What about homosexuality? I have a good I'm going to tell you, go back on our history and our work on our webpage, and I have a message on that. If you want to know how I teach it, what I say, go back. I have a message on abortion on there. I'll probably touch those topics again. But there's two back there in the back that I took those hot issues. How do we deal with those? Remember, you got to do it with love. Remember that passage earlier? Don't forget that one back there that says love, right? So I encourage you there. But we need to see God's word, how it plays out, how it works, what happens in our lives, how does it work. And I want to encourage us there. But, you know, we'll make all sorts of, but see, God's word cuts those things away. See, that's a good hurt. That's a good hurt. I've watched people who, anybody ever get their face with skin cancer? I went to the doctor and they go, there's a few spots on your face I need to take care of. And she pulls out this can of stuff. Anybody ever have that can? It hurts. It burns. See, it's going to hurt a little bit. And I'm going to tell you, it don't hurt a little bit. It hurts a lot. Yeah. But we need to get rid of those before they may become more serious. That's why I see God's word. So when you come to church sometimes and I'm preaching, put some steel-toed shoes on. Because my heart is, I want to get rid of those things that's going to steal your joy, your peace, and destroy your lives. See, I want to have that full life. I am enjoying life. Even just so you know, I want to say thank you for the car. I enjoy the car. You guys have blessed me beyond. I am so blessed. But you want to know something? I was still having fun with a car that was broke. Because I got to borrow other people's cars. All right? You know what? I mean, come on. Life's going to go on. We enjoy. This is what God wants. And this is how God wants us to live and wants us to work. Let me paint you a picture here. I'm just going to take lying. I figure it's easy to talk about lying because we don't lie. Nobody here lies. Let's say I got up this morning and I wanted to wear a suit. I've been wearing the shirt that says our church name, Centerpoint FBC, on it, because I've been talking about the church and being hurt by the church. But let's say I wanted to wear a suit, and I go into my closet, and I kind of sort through, and I pick out one of my past, I'm not going to say older suits, past suit, let's put it that way. And I put it on, and I put the jacket on, and the pants on, and boy, they were hard to button. And then I go to button the jacket, and it's about 2 inches short. But some way I get that button, and I go out and I go, Laura, do I look fat? Now, she's my wife. Does she lie? If you guys know Laura, you know, never mind. Yeah. She might not lie. She would say something along this line. If you wear that, that button's going to pop off and hit somebody in the eye. You better be careful. Because the problem is, does the suit make me look fat? No, Gary, the suit don't make you look fat. Gary, you're fat, all right? Don't, you know, we try, you know, we're going to lie, you know, don't lie. We say that. You know? We need to think about this, those moral choices we make. They're for our good. So here's what I want to ask you. If you look at your outline, I put it this way. So what do you do when you've been hurt by the Bible? What are you going to do? What do you do this morning? And I said, are you a Christian? Have you made a decision? I'm not talking about any of that. I'm going to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Are you going to heaven? Do you know without a shadow of doubt you're going to heaven? Do you know? I know. I am going to heaven. When I die, I am going to heaven. Period. Not because I'm good, because some of you know I'm not that good. Not because I'm a preacher, because sometimes I'm a creature. I'm going to heaven because I reached a point when I was 17 years old, I prayed a prayer something like this. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to go to heaven. Forgive me and take me to heaven. I made a decision. What do you do when you hear things like that? What do you do when you hear, I know you're living together, but you got to get out of that. I'm going to tell you, if you're living together, get out of it. I'm going to tell you this. No sex before you get married. Boy, it's quiet now. Yeah. What do you want me to say? Yeah. I want to say it because I love you. I know what God has planned is better than any of that stuff. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, sex is great. But if you don't get along, don't matter how good the sex is. You got to work through these things. What do you do when you're confronted with God's word? What do you do when it hurts? Because see, the world has a way to live. We have a way to live, and God has a way to live. Which path are you going to take? Still, kill, destroy, or an abundant life? Think about it. So I put it this way. I can ignore the Bible. I can just ignore it. I'm going to do my own thing. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what my Bible study leader says. I don't care what my group says. I'm going to ignore the Bible. You know, one of the frustrating things to me is somebody will come to me and ask me a question. And they already know the answer, all right? They already know what the Bible says. They already know what I'm going to say. And I'll tell them the answer. And they go, okay. And then they'll go to my associate pastor. They'll go to Dan. And they'll ask Dan the question. And Dan to tell them the same answer I gave them. And they'll go to somebody else and tell them the same thing I said. And they'll go to somebody else and tell them the same thing I said. Then they'll go to somebody else who says something different. And guess who they choose? Come on! They kept shopping until they found the one that agreed with them. Anybody ever do shopping until you get the one that agrees with you? Don't reach it. We can just ignore the Bible. I'm just going to ignore it. Well, I believe the Bible, but that part I'm not so sure about. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's either all or nothing. Listen to what it says. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and walk into myths. You know what I found was amazing? That's 2,000 years old, but I think it's today's headlines in today's newspaper. You know? See, God's truth is truth, and it's absolute. You can't ignore it. Sooner or later, it will jump up and bite you. Anybody? Anybody ever make a decision that's jumped up and bite you later on in life? Anybody ever have a regret? You knock over that and you go, wonder what was I thinking when I did that? Anybody remember some of those teenagers? Now, some of us are older than teenagers. Remember those teenagers? You look back and you go, man, I was stupid. Anybody ever wish they had a do-over? Don't ignore it now. I look back to my, not just my teenage years, I look back to when I was 40 and some of the dumb stuff I did. It's like, what was I thinking? I want to challenge you there. Don't ignore God's word. Now, I want to make sure I point out something here, and it's not our job to pull out our weapon and cut everybody else to pieces because they're not doing what we're doing. You're not living like me. Woo, woo. This is what the Bible says. Woo, cover a big old Z in their chest. You know? That's not our job. Now, you hear me say as a pastor, you need three things. Now, you need to listen. You need church. You need a small group. And you need somebody who can tell you the hard things. You need a friend. You need somebody in your small group, somebody that can look you in the eye and say, Gary, you're being a jerk. I've got people that do that for me. And I'm glad. Do I like them all the time? I don't want to hear it. But I'm glad I got them. Yeah. I'm going to tell you the best tool you have, the best thing that you have in our world out there, it's called love. Why did Jesus come? God was fed up with the world, so he sent Jesus. Is that what the Bible says? God was tired of everything going on, so I'm going to blow them all away. Here's Jesus. No. Why? Anybody know John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, who believes in him should not perish, but everything. See, when we pull out our sword, the word to pull out the sword that says love on it. Anybody? Anybody? We got a hurting world out there that needs love. Here's my greatest belief, guys. We have this big battle with homosexuality now, but you know what I think the greatest need is? Love. Love. They're hurting. You know, some Christians have pulled out the Bible and chopped them all up. I think some of us other Christians need to go out there and pick them up and help them. Not chop them up, but stomp on them while they're down. You can't ignore the Bible. Or here's this last one I put real quick. Learn from the Bible. Learn from the Bible. I'm going to learn. I want to take God's word and learn. I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to know that peace and that joy. I want to know that abundant life. I want to experience those things in life. I want to enjoy it. Look at what God's word says. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Remember, part of transformation? By the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Change your mind. Let God work on your mind. Let God work on your heart. When you're reading the Bible, or when some preacher's preaching, or when somebody's teaching, and that thing hurts, make it a good hurt. It's a healing hurt. That's what I want this church to be. I want this church to be a place of healing. I want this church where people can come when they're hurt, whether it's spiritual, physical, emotional, I don't care what it is, that someone can walk in here and know that they're going to be loved and cared, and we're going to walk alongside, and we're going to be there, and we're going to love them. Because we're going to learn together. We're going to grow together. We're not going to bail on one another. Life's going to have good times and bad times, but we're going to be with one another. So here at the bottom of the page, I put it real simple. What are you going to do when the Word of God hurts you? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You going to ignore it? I know the Bible says that, but I'm going to go do. Are you going to learn? You're going to grow. You're going to let God's word transform you. That's my challenge for you. Where are you with the Bible? Now, I'm going to be honest. I hope I didn't hurt you this morning. At least in a bad way. Okay? But I'm going to be honest with you. I do hope I hurt you in a good way. That there's something in your life you need to deal with. There's some battles in your life that you need to talk about, that you need to cross over with, that you need to make that decision. So I hope it's a good hurt. It's like getting that flu shot, that you come this morning, and you got a flu shot that's going to help you when you walk out that door to have an abundant life, to find joy, to find peace, discover what God wants to do. See, that, so honestly, do I hope I hurt you? Yes, I hope I hurt you. but I hope it's a good leap. What will you do? You're going to ignore it, or are you going to learn it? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. That your word is not a weapon to dice us up and to slice us up. Lord, too many people use it to hurt hearts and to hurt lives in a bad way, Lord. To destroy. That, Lord, I ask your word to be used in a good way. Lord, that you'll use your word to cut away those things that are destroying our life, that is killing our peace, destroying our joy. Lord, that you'll use your word to give us that abundant life. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe there's some battles that you're wrestling with. I don't need to know them. I just want to pray for you. Some hard-fought battles that you're wrestling with and you want somebody to pray. Would you just shoot your arm up and let me pray for you? Thank you. I see those. Thank you. Anyone else? I see those. Anyone else? Lord, I thank you for these who you love and you care and you know the battles that they are fighting. You know the heartaches and the struggles. You know the turmoil in their heart, in their mind, physically, spiritually, emotionally. You know what's going on in them. So I just ask you to let your word and let your spirit comfort them. Guide them through these days, Lord, that you lead them and that you cut away those things that need to disappear, that this will be a good hurt, Lord. That it'd be something positive and something fulfilling and something rewarding, Lord. For there's a life with no regrets on the other side. In Jesus' name, amen. We always close our service with an invitation. Invitation is real simple. I'm here to pray with you. I don't know what